Biscuits and Gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people! Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck!
Pol Pot Pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria?
Yeah. Whoa, we got a live one today, guys. Holy smokeroonies. And bless you.
Thank you.
And bless all of ye for tuning into the Biscuits and Gravy Show. That's right. This is Gravy Love right here on 88.5. We are just sending the mission out and want you to know that the gravy and the biscuits love you, and we want you to love the biscuits and the gravy back. That's right. This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show on KAKU 88.5, the voice of
Gravy. And I am Vincent Archangel Gravy Fody, and I am sending out blessings to
all of you.
This is the biscuit blessing.
And if you want to get your own advanced biscuit blessing, join our Patreon and just send me money.
Yes.
Yes.
Or just send it directly to Chuck or I.
Because the great biscuit once said, give me the gravy.
Yeah, if we start a church of biscuitology, then then we don't have to pay taxes on all the donations that you guys send us. So we'll just start a church pretty soon.
And thank God good old President Trump has gotten rid of any possible ethics communities that have existed within the government.
Also, if you're a fan of biscuit benedictions, then you might be a fan of one of our sponsors of our show, Benedict Cumberbatch's Blessings. You can't spell benediction without Benedict.
Boom, baby.
He's been a longtime supporter of our show, as is apparently Spam.
Spam,
are
baby.
You sponsored by Spam now?
Yeah, dog. I got that gochujang in me. There you go, to Jang Spam.
You have your Spam lanyard.
A Spamlard.
And your Spamyard. And you're also wearing a Spam t-shirt.
The brightest Spam t-shirt.
We do have to say...
I've been told this hour is actually all Spam.
We do have to disclose that we are not sponsored or getting any sort of paid endorsement by Spam.
Disclose.
Chuck just does it by the he does it for the love of the Spam.
Love it for the love of the Spam.
The gochujang gang. I love that gochujang Spam, man.
I did it all for the gochujang. I did it all for the gochujang.
I can't get enough of it.
Can't get enough of your
especially because it's keto friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was like waking up and eating gochujang Spam every morning.
I'll say it before I say it again. I take Spam and I do it like at a cheese grater, and I cook it like that, like all hash style.
Spam hash?
Spam hash. Throw in some cheese and eggs and a little bit of cauliflower.
That's one of the best parts about being keto is that you can eat lots of Spam.
Dude, being keto is great. I'm just eating pork rinds all
the
time.
Well, it does have some caveats.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. I did keto. My wife and I always have a tradition where for the month of January, we do keto. And
tradition!
We purge all of our holiday weight. And I lost 22 pounds in the month of January.
Did you?
But here's the problem with that.
Okay.
Is that... as you learned the other night, when you're not eating as much and then you start drinking...
Yeah.
It hits you a little harder when all you eat is kale all day.
Yep, kale. I ate kale and cream cheese.
You ate kale and cream cheese, and then you drank a whole lot of whiskey.
Yep.
And starfished at my house.
Yeah.
Which got you in trouble with the missus.
Yeah, it's not good. Nope. It's not good.
Another problem with that is that it turns you into a lightweight alcohol wise. I don't drink a lot when I'm doing anytime I'm doing some sort of diet like that. I tend not to drink because for two reasons. One, it hits you so much heavier when you're eating very light. But also the other problem is once I start drinking, then all of my inhibitions go out the window.
And it only makes common sense.
Because I'm like, once I start drinking, I'm like, well, I'll just eat one microwavable pizza.
Yeah, and then before you know it, you are unwritten.
And then
I am unwritten.
And then after you eat one microwavable pizza, you're like, well, I've already broken my diet, so I might as well just eat all the microwavable pizzas.
Microwavable pizzas?
It's just the bullet rye, which is fueling those bad decisions.
Yeah, the bullet rye is my silver bullet. It's not my Coors Light.
That's your Achilles heel.
Oh, my lordy. Oof-ta. Who would have thought? I was actually drinking Canadian stuff that night.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to become fancy. I have all this Canadian Club and Seagram's.
Yeah, you're drinking Seagram 7s.
But it turns out that we weren't actually ever going to do the trade with the tariffs.
That's what like my parents would drink when they would go out to a bar. My mom would be like, "Let me get a 7-7."
It sounds good.
You're at your uncle's like third wedding,
mm-hmm.
and it's like an open bar, and your mom's like, "I'll have a 7-7."
Yeah,
like, what is that?
I'll have 7-7-7.
I'll have 7-7-7. That's lucky because right. It's the 3 7s.
Yes, yes, and. If you've been around me when I've had 7-7-7s, it's a luck-filled evening.
But the other problem is it turns you into a lightweight eating-wise when you go on a diet, too.
Oh, yeah, then you come back
because
and
your stomach gets all tiny. And then, like, Diana and I went to Gen,
yeah.
which is the all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue place.
It's a waste of money when you can't eat all you can eat.
And I could not eat all I could eat. It was the difference was a stark contrast to the last time that I had been at Gen.
Yes.
Where it was like,
I've been at Gen with you, and you're like a Kirby's Dreamland scenario of just in.
I almost put them out of business.
Yes.
The last
you
time.
Singularly.
Yes. Uh-huh. But this time, let's just say that they were able to remain in business after this most recent outing to Gen.
Mm.
I was only able to eat like. 3 plates of beef bulgogi and 2 orders of mandu.
I get the fried pork with cheese in it. Oh, that's called. It's like pork cheese katsu.
Yeah, it was a pork cheese cutlet.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it was like a cheese katsu cutlet. The first time I got that, it was a little bit chewy and it wasn't good. And then when I got it again, the second time that I went, when I got it with you, it was pretty good.
So good. The shrimp is still not good.
But nothing beats the mandu. You can't beat the mandu.
The mandu's good. The pork riblets are pretty good.
Oh, the pork riblets and the KFC, the
like
Korean
brisk.
Fried chicken,
yeah,
is
like,
so good.
I like the brisket.
But the bulgogi is the best stuff on the menu. Mm. While we were there, some lady had died or something.
That what?
Yeah, we were there, and so the they.
You didn't tell me about this.
The ambulance came. I'm like looking outside, and I see the ambulance lights good. Come in, and then the host guy. Is like holding the door open for the paramedics, and they bring in a stretcher and they wheel this lady out, and she was like unconscious when she left.
Wow.
Which is close to how you left, Jen, last time that we went together.
Yeah, that all you could eat.
I almost had to wheel you out.
Ugh.
We could have used a stretcher for you.
I do have a shrunken stomach now, and I do get the meat sweats more than ever. You just get to a certain point where you're like, oh my God,
yeah.
What did I do? Instead of before, it like would stretch it out, and you're like, ooh, this is comfortable. Let me stretch it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it work? It's not like a balloon. Can't go back.
I don't know.
I don't know how
you have to train it. It's how to train your stomach.
How to train
it. It's a new children's movie.
It's a Pixar movie?
Yeah.
It starts off with your grandma dying at Jen. For grandma!
You were mentioning earlier about the Seagram's and coming from Canada. And fortunately, we're going to still be able to get Seagram 7 from Canada and Canadian Club
Hot
whiskey.
Take, I think American whiskey's better. Not Jack Daniels, but most American whiskeys are better than
now,
Canadian.
As you know, we are the prognosticators of prognosticators.
That's right,
baby. We were on record. I don't know if you remember this, but I did say this on the show. I said this on the show. It was about a month or so ago
mm-hmm.
where when Trump was talking about the tariffs, my prediction was that he would talk about doing a lot of stuff that would ruin the U.S. economy, and then he would just back down and end up doing nothing, and then just sit around and take credit for the semi-functional economy that he inherited, and then he'll look like a genius because he's like, I didn't do anything, and the economy is still going strong.
Well, he's doing stuff, but...
He is doing stuff, but most of it's just, like, racist posturing.
Yeah.
He did manage to crash the stock market, and there was a huge tech sell-off, but that was only kind of his fault. The tech sell-off was because of China.
Yeah.
China! But so that wasn't really his fault. But all the tariff talk did cause the stock market to take a big nosedive.
Also, he was going to do 25% Mexico, 25% Canada, but only 10%
China.
And then they renegotiated everything to absolutely like no change.
Yeah.
He's like, I did it. I won.
But he did the same thing in 2018. He did the exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So our prediction came true, and it happened all over again.
I think he's actually deporting like 10% more or 10% less the amount of people that Biden was. So that's all for show.
I can't believe that it's less.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm going to eat one of these red velvet cookies. Your wife made these?
Yeah, dog. She's just full of love.
It's so good. I was eating these last night at your house.
Yeah, you guys were inhaling them. She made a lot, though.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love red velvet cookies. The Chips Ahoy ones are like the soft batch red velvet cookies.
They never
and they got cream on the inside.
On the inside.
How do you make soft batch cookies? There's got to be some sort of like chemical or something.
There's chemical in it.
That they put in there to make sure it doesn't ever like firm up. How do they do it?
I don't know.
I love soft batch cookies.
I was when they first came out, they had way more of a chemical.
Entenmann's? You're from the East Coast.
Entenmann's, baby.
You have Entenmann's in Connecticut?
It's high end stuff.
Yeah, and they're not in the supermarket. They have their own
aisle,
their own thing at the end of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
But I love soft cookies. Entenmann's soft batch chocolate chip cookies are possibly my favorite cookie of all time.
Have you ever had Costco chocolate chip cookies?
They are pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
but they're no Chips Ahoy.
It's like a huge container of them from Costco.
It's a feed bag.
For like $10. Ugh, that's a great deal on cookies.
It's too much.
It is a food bag.
It's too much. It's just too much, man.
You want to do a little housekeeping?
I would love to do some housekeeping on the Biscuits and Gravy Show. You're listening to Gravy Love on 88.5.
You're riding the gravy train. So as you know, this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show, and if you're listening to us live, you're probably listening to us on 88.5 KAKU, the voice of gravy.
Boop.
But don't forget that you can also, if you're listening to us live, you can also watch us live on TV. We're live on TV every Wednesday at 11 on Channel 55. That's right, the 8s and the 5s, 88.5 KAKU FM, and also Channel 55, Akaku. So we're live on TV. Wave to the folks at home. Hello, Charles.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Charles.
So don't forget that you can flip
Hello,
us
Marlon
on.
Hello, Marlon Brando.
Watch us.
Did you ever get in contact with Susie?
It's Blando.
It's Blando.
So
his name is Blando.
Watch us. Don't forget to follow us also. You can, if you look us up on Instagram, just look up Biscuits and Gravy 808 on Instagram. Look up Biscuits and Gravy 808 on Facebook. I don't think we still keep up on our Facebook.
No, it's like once a year I do the Halloween thing.
We do have a Facebook. We also have Biscuits and Gravy 808 on, what's it called? Blue Sky.
Yeah. We're also the Blue Note.
It's liberal Twitter now.
Yeah.
So it's called Blue Sky. So look us up. We have Biscuits and Gravy 808. We also have, if you remember, longtime fans of the show will remember that our email address for Chuck Stuff and Knowledge Buffalo was thebiscuitsandgravy@gmail.com. But now we have biscuitsandgravy808@gmail.com. So it matches.
It all matches.
It matches the rest of our socials.
Wow.
So if you have any questions that you want to send in to Biscuits and Gravy for Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo, you can send it to either email address. And Chuck doesn't check any of them.
What episode number are we on?
This is episode 410.
410?
410 episodes.
So we're 10 episodes away from episode 420.
420. And,
which should
it's
be
going,
towards the end of March.
It's going to fall right around 420, but we're going to just miss it. We're going to be a little bit late. But you know what we should do? We should do like a drunker in the bunker.
A stoner in the boner? Wait, that doesn't work.
I don't like the sound of that.
No, hit this pipe. Come on.
Yeah.
Ah.
Smoking in the Boken. We'll go to Boca Raton and record a live episode.
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, let's go. We'll do Smoking in the Boken. We'll travel to Hoboken, New Jersey.
That's right. We're
birthplace
coming to
you. Of Frank Sinatra. So if you live in the Hoboken area, we'll be coming on our live tour for 420.
You can't pump your own gas in New Jersey.
I think they changed that law.
Really?
There was two states. It might not new. Actually,
it was
New Jersey.
Oregon and New Jersey.
It was Oregon and New Jersey.
It's pronounced Snoregon.
And I believe that
state is boring.
So they don't have Snoregon energy. Is that what you're saying?
All right.
Don't look up Oregon energy unless you're into like weird crystal stuff. But I think
on G-Love.
I think Oregon recently changed it, meaning that New Jersey is the last state in the union.
Oh, they're really holding out.
Where you still can't. It was either New Jersey or Oregon. One of them
had to give in.
Gave in to the pressure and allowed people to start pumping their own gas.
Pump their own gas.
In Japan, you don't pump your own gas either, I believe. What? Because I don't think any time that we've gone to Japan, we haven't rented a car. So no. We haven't had to fill up our gas. But I'm pretty sure in Japan, there's like a little guy wearing like a suit and tie that pumps your gas for you. Everything they do is so professional and cute.
Have you ever been in an Uber where they get gas and you're like, what's going on here?
It's like, you couldn't have done this in between.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing the rest of the day?
when you're just sitting around.
Like, you're out of cigarettes now, you know you're going to smoke. Always have cigarettes.
Oh, Corky was offended that you said something about Oregon because she's from Oregon.
Oh, because I call it Snoregon. Well, there's a reason you don't live there anymore, Corky.
Yeah, it's just like Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia, but I like to say Philadelphia is a great place to be
from. Mm.
Mm, there's a reason why I'm not there anymore.
Philadelphia freedom, because it feels so good to leave.
Yeah. Also, if you are a fan of comedy, I don't know why you're listening to this show, but
comedy?
Chuck and I are both stand-up comedians, yeah. And you can catch comedy every week on Maui. You can go Monday. There's a open mic in Paia at Story.
Ooh, what a great place for it.
That's hosted by friend of the show and hometown hero Chino LaForge.
Award-winning comedian extraordinaire.
And then
TV show person.
TV show personality from Moku Moku. You also know him from High Spice.
Oh, and he was cooking on with Lanai. He did a cooking with Lanai.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's also an open mic on Tuesday nights, and that's at Vibe.
Ooh, at Vibe.
Vibe.
In the heart of the trashiest place at Kihei.
Right in the heart of Kihei, right in the triangle. And that's on Tuesday nights. So if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you can catch free comedy shows there. Also, there's a show at Paia Bay Coffee, one of our new favorite venues in town. And that's going to be February 20th.
So and, much comedy.
L.A. comedian and friend of Chino and Willie Simon. He's an L.A. comedian. His name's Mike Misolodi.
Oh.
And he's going to be performing on that. And then Chino is featuring, Corky is opening, and I'm hosting that show.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
So that's going to be a great show. That's February 20th at Paia Bay Coffee. That's a Thursday.
That's at Paia Bay or Paia Coffee?
Paia Coffee Bay.
Okay, cool.
Paia Bay Coffee is the name of the place. Also, if you're a fan of Chuck and I and friend of the show, Shahane, we just dropped two new Ono Eats Maui videos last week.
We're making waves, baby.
So we did one where we recorded us going up and eating burgers at Stu's Burgers.
Mm, way up the mountain.
There's another new video of us eating burgers at...
And cornbread.
At Burgers and Cornbread at Burger Boys.
Burgers and Cornbread.
Which is... At the South Maui Oasis, where we actually used to do comedy for a brief period of time.
And they do monthly shows there, too.
Until we were kicked out.
Yep.
Because of the actions of friend of the show, Ted Anderson.
Yeah. That's what
But, yeah, check out Ono Eats Maui on YouTube. That's the name of Ono Eats, O-N-O,
and
Eats
on our Insta spam.
Maui. There's a... You attempting to do a tumble salt.
A
tumble salt in that video is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Really?
So good.
I didn't know you were filming.
Man, this red velvet cookie is so good.
Yeah, dog. Friend of the show, Chrissy Thompson, baked some good cookies.
Mmm. Today's show is brought to us by Helen Hunt's Rifles. Her rifles are as good as it gets. Why don't you go ahead and read some of those, Chuck?
Funding for the Biscuits and Gravy Show and Gravy Love is brought to you in part by Chris Tucker's Mattresses. Get tucked in when you're tuckered out. And, of course, Steven Tyler's hand-carved arrows. When you need quality arrows, trust in Aerosmith.
And also by Cindy Crawford's Mole Sauce. You got a little something on your face. It might just be Cindy Crawford's delicious mole sauce.
Mmm.
All right, so we got so much to talk about today, Chuck.
Why?
I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it all.
Huh?
I want to talk
My name is,
Chicka Chicka Vince Fody. Listen, you want to talk about Stardew Valley?
Is that the video game you play like 800 hours on a month?
In the last month, I've worked about 60 hours, and I've played Stardew Valley for about 250 hours.
That is insane. I didn't even watch TV once yesterday or play any games.
Wow, that's crazy.
I just like meditate.
You're really wasting your life.
Read.
And which is surprising because you're not employed.
No.
So is that all you're doing is drinking and reading?
Sometimes I got like 6 days without drinking, but the last week I have not.
Yeah. I don't think you went 6 hours.
No, it's been a week.
I mean, you never, even when you were growing up, were you never a big video game guy? Because I know you're not a video game player.
No, we actually didn't. We weren't allowed to have video games in our house for a while. And then
we weren't allowed to play violent video games, but we were allowed to play like Mario and stuff.
We had some learning games on the computer where you're in a submarine and would have to do math.
Okay. Did you ever play any of the old Apple games when you were in school, like Number Munchers or Word Munchers?
No, but that sounds erotic. Tell me more.
There was a game where it was called Number Munchers, and it would show a little thing at the bottom of the screen, like 5 plus 5, and then there would be a grid, and you were this little munchy guy, sort of like a Pac-Man with legs, and you would have to go find like the number 10, and then you would munch it. Or yeah. At the bottom, it would be like the number 10, and then it would be like one of the squares would
five
have
times two.
9 plus 1. Yeah, 5 times 2, 5 plus 5, and then you would have to go munch all the things that equal 10.
Wow.
Yeah, or there was another version of that game called Word Munchers, and you would have to, it would say like, munch all the nouns, and then you would go eat boat and log.
Eating boat with Vincent Fodi.
Yeah, so those.
You had Apple computers in your schools growing up, huh?
Growing up, we had the old school Apple computers.
Were like the one thing?
Those iMacs started coming around when I was in like sixth, seventh grade. In my middle school, we had a bunch of like the iMacs that were like all one piece.
Yeah, where the screen is the computer.
But when I was in grade school, we had the Macs were still two piece. It was like a monitor and a computer part. Huh. Yeah, they were still older. We
played this game called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Where in the World in Carmen Sandiego was really fun. Sim City was one of the games that we had.
I had
on
the
there.
Sims on computer, and I had like Command and Conquer.
Well, we didn't have the Sims, but we had a game called Sim City, which it was like it taught you about infrastructure for cities.
Sims roller coaster.
And also how to destroy a city with like a tornado. So you would build your city, and then by the end of class you would just destroy it with
an
earthquake.
That's the deep state trying to condition you from a baby that you can control the weather.
It's harmful.
It's right there in front of you.
Weather controlling pedagogy.
All murders are in cold blood if you're a lizard person.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of lizard people, did you hear about Beyonce being a robot?
No.
You didn't hear about
so
that?
I missed a Beyonce robot story.
Yeah.
I'm signed up to CIA robots as news articles all the time. I didn't go to Beyonce. Tony, what kind of research you doing? No one prepped me on this.
Did you ever play a game called The Incredible Machine?
No. What?
There was a game on the old Macs called The Incredible Machine. It was sort of like
Captain Riptide. That's the game I played.
Okay.
Sorry.
It was like a game where you would make a Rube Goldberg device where it was like it would give you a goal to accomplish, like get the bowling ball into like the basketball hoop.
Okay. But,
and then it would give you like a seesaw and a cat and a mouse and a rope or something like that.
Whoa.
And so you would like you would set up the seesaw, and then you would have the cat chase the mouse, and then have the bowling ball fall into the seesaw, and then the cat falls onto the other end of the seesaw and it shoots the bowling ball into the hoop or whatever. So it was sort of like an engineering game, that like puzzle solving game. That game was super fun. I used to really love playing that.
Bounce the bowling ball off of the cat.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing was there was like a bunch of different ways to accomplish each goal. So it was sort of like how creative could you get in solving this problem of like trying to get this thing over to this other thing.
And what does this have to do with Beyonce being a robot?
That was just a game that I really loved playing when I was a kid on the old school Macs.
You were able to share that with me.
All right, so at the Grammys,
home-cooked conversation here on the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
Now, friends of the show will remember that Beyonce was snubbed at the CMAs because the CMA judges are a bunch of racists.
Yep,
and they think that just because Beyonce is not a country artist, that she doesn't deserve to win CMA awards for her country album.
They also snubbed Shaboozy, who does have like pretty dope country songs as well.
What is Shaboozy?
You never heard of Shaboozy?
Uh-uh.
You've never heard of Shaboozy?
No.
Tony, can I play Shaboozy?
No, you cannot. That sounds like the band that Coheed and Cambria used to be.
What?
Coheed and Cambria, before they were Coheed and Cambria, they used to be a band called Shibuti.
All right. Shibuzi has that song called a bar song, and it's like tipsy and stuff.
Okay. Well, anyway, Beyonce, this year, she did win, even though she didn't win at the CMAs, she won a Grammy for Best Country Album, Best Country Song.
But what?
She won a Grammy, right? Okay. Now, here's where the robot part comes in, right?
We are all awaiting.
If you watch the video where Beyonce wins her country Grammy, okay?
Beep, boop, boop, she, I am a country music
She
star.
Goes like this, right? She goes, like she looks like she's doing, for viewers at home who didn't see what I just did. She makes like a robot motion when she gets up, like she's startled, and she like kind of does like robot arms.
Hands are tight and jointed.
So people are saying that Beyonce has been replaced by a Beyonce robot.
Whoa!
Much like last week, we talked about how Trump has been replaced by AI, and
his speech pattern is very different.
And not just his speech pattern, but also the sound of his voice.
So different.
Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to on YouTube videos. There's a lot of YouTube videos that do like AI stuff where they'll do like Donald Trump talking, but you know, they're just using AI voices. There's actually Diana listens to this it's like a YouTube channel where they play D&D, but it's like celebrities and they're just using AI voices. So it's like Joe Rogan and Donald Trump. And like Neil deGrasse Tyson all playing Dungeons and Dragons together, but they're just using AI to do the voices. Donald Trump's right now, when he's giving live speeches, he sounds like the AI version of himself. It's really weird. It's really weird. Illuminati people.
Real Trump or AI Trump?
They're both equally as dumb and destructive.
Mm.
And heartless and soulless. That's as cool. Well.
Have you read about the national parks might be the one starting the revolution?
The national parks?
Yep, the national parks are like completely organized, band in band. They've hijacked the national parks like website and everything, and they're just live posting like every terrible thing that Trump has done, but they're also speaking a lot in code. Like they just had a post that said five people that are the most dedicated and are doing these jobs not for the money, but for the greater love of humanity and our country. That's, I mean, like our last line of defense.
Those were the people who were most vulnerable when the stupid government got shut down, because it was like when the government got shut down, it didn't really affect anything except the fact that like we couldn't go to Haleakala anymore because Haleakala is a national park. Yeah. So people were coming on vacation to Maui and they're like, oh, I can't go to Haleakala because the stupid government is shut down. It's so dumb.
I mean, it is pretty dumb. It's pretty darn tootin' stupid.
Is Beyonce a part of the Illuminati?
Well, she's part of Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is the Illuminati.
Jay-Z. Well, didn't she do... She did a music video where she was, like, yeah, doing Illuminati stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Jay-Z's always been Illuminati because his whole Jay-Z thing, yeah, is, like, him doing a triangle. You know what the Illuminati is trying to do? They're trying to set up a new world order.
Ooh.
And
what are we about to be doing? Having a new world disorder.
New world disorder. And what do you need to start a big master plan like that? You need a blueprint.
Oh.
And Jay-Z has an album called what?
The Blue Album.
The Blueprint.
What? He has a Weezer.
Weezer is the Blue Album.
Yeah.
Jay-Z has the Black Album.
Yeah, there's a Black and Blue Album. It's a good mashup.
And then there's the Gray Album, which is the black album mashed up with the Beatles White Album, which is also pretty good.
I'd say it's even better.
But Jay-Z has an album called The Blueprint. And when was The Blueprint released?
I don't know.
You don't know when The Blueprint was released? The Blueprint was released on 9/11/2001.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, that's crazy. We haven't ever talked about this. Wow, we're getting deep.
Yeah, I don't
we're
think we
deep.
I don't think we have ever talked about deep. This. Yeah, this is like conspiracy cookbook territory.
Whoa.
Hold on, let me play a little conspiracy music. Also, we have talked about, wasn't there a conspiracy that Kermit the Frog caused 9/11?
Yes. We've delved into this quite a bit.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Because what movie is it? Is it Muppets Christmas or Muppets Take Manhattan or something?
It's not Muppets Oh, it might be Muppets Christmas.
It might be Muppets Christmas.
Because they do the whole, like, It's a Wonderful Life thing.
They show Kermit, like, what his life would have been like if he never existed. And
what happened is they filmed part of it while the two towers were still there, And then, you know, they got gotted by the CIA.
Right. And then instead of. Yeah, then
how do they find a passport?
President Bush blew up the Twin Towers.
How did they find a passport
during the filming of the Muppets Christmas movie? There's a scene in the Muppets movie where they show Kermit what his life would be like if he was never born, and they cut to the New York skyline and the Twin Towers are there. So somehow the birth of Kermit the Frog caused 9/11. According, that is canon in the Muppets universe.
Man, what are they doing when they're not taking Manhattan? What?
Yeah, they did take Manhattan.
Whoa. Twice.
Chuck, why don't we do...
Hey, Vince.
There's a lot of fans of Biscuits and Gravy that are listening to us right now and probably watching us at home.
Hey, boo.
And a large portion of them are named Louise.
Of course.
Did you know that?
Yes.
And so every once in a while, we like to give a shout out to our Louise fans. And
hey,
so
Louise.
We're going to do a little segment today called Louise of the Week.
Louise of the Week.
What's Louise of the Week?
So this is Louise of the Week.
Louise of the Week is proudly underwritten in part by Mark Ruffalo's Buffalo Wings, the best way to cure a whole-sized appetite.
So this week for Louise of the Week, we're doing Luis Buñuel.
Oh my goodness. What a fantastic time to honor
Luis Buñuel. Are you familiar with Luis Buñuel?
You know, I don't want to steal your thunder.
He is a famous Spanish film director. He is a filmmaker who worked in France, Mexico, and Spain, and he has widely been considered by many film critics and historians and directors to be one of the greatest and most influential filmmakers of all time. He was a big surrealist filmmaker. He also helped co-produce Un Chien Andalou, which is the Salvador Dali movie.
I could see that being a very surrealist
movie. Yeah, he was very big around that era where Dali was doing his stuff. Mm-hmm. And Luis Buñuel, he worked with Dali side by side, doing a lot of stuff. And Alfred Hitchcock once said that he was the greatest director of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, so Luis Buñuel... You are Luis of the Week.
That's high praise from Alfred Hitchcock. It's like when Paul from Beatles got asked what it was like to be a part of the greatest band ever. He said, I don't know. I'm not a part of ZZ Top. Which, it's funny to me that Paul McCartney thinks ZZ Top is the greatest band.
Also, the James Brown once said that of all of the horn sections in the world, Chicago's horn section was the only horn section that was as good as his horn section.
Tight.
He said nobody was tighter. And so coming from James Brown, that's pretty much the highest praise that you can get because he ruled his brass section with an iron fist. All right, so that was...
If your name is Luis and you're a fan of the show, I got a segment for you, so let's give it a go.
It's Luis of the Week. That was Luis of the Week. Luis of the Week was brought to us by Jackie Gleason's Creason's, the best in celebrity dry cleaning since 1955. His prices will send you straight to the moon.
So you know how they pardoned a lot of the January 6 or all the January 6 rioters?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Even though it was actually the FBI and Black Lives Matter.
Did you hear Mitch McConnell fell down the steps today of the Senate?
No.
Yeah. Nothing warms my heart than Mitch McConnell and his constant deterioration of his physical health.
Yeah.
And whether it's him stroking out on national TV or falling down the steps of the Senate.
That was a fun week or two for memes, when he had like a, you know, brain fart forever.
Yeah. What's funny is he keeps saying about how everything Trump is doing is bad. And it's like, you're the one enabling him. You single-handedly enabled everything that Trump has done, and then you're gonna
pick all the Supreme Court.
You are already on the wrong side of history, and history is going to deem you as a villain and an enabler. And now it's too late. You can't walk back what you've already done. I can't wait till he dies. Okay, that got a little dark.
Every 2 to 3 days, since people have been released from the January 6th, people that got released have been either rearrested or killed by police officers for trying to kill other police officers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
So look that up. That's cool.
Why don't you blow your train whistle?
Oh, my God!
Let's do some follow-up junction. We got a lot of follow-up junction to do. And we got a lot of porn-related news.
Oh, my
goodness. So this week for Follow-Up Junction.
Follow-Up Junction, all aboard.
By the way, today's Follow-Up Junction is brought to us by Matt Damon's Exorcisms. Need to get out the demons?
Get out the demons! On the Biscuits and Gravy Show on KAKU 88.5, the voice of gravy.
Last week, we were talking about giant TVs and how TVs are getting bigger.
I went to Costco.
And then
I went to Costco.
Bro.
So big.
Did you see the 98-inch TV?
Big.
So after the show last week, I walk into Costco, and what's the first thing that I see when I walk into Costco? A 98-inch TV.
98 inches!
And how much was it? $1,300. It's unbelievable. I almost wanted to buy it just on principle alone, because I was like, first of all,
who has the wall space for this?
If I were to buy that, I would have to like rearrange my entire living room because it's so big, it wouldn't even fit into the place where I have my already pretty large TV. The TV that I have in my house is like a 60-inch TV. It's like it's a huge TV, right? This wouldn't even fit on the thing that I have my TV on. I would have to like get all new like furniture.
Like 42 inches was like kind of big.
Yeah, 40
and, like
50
like, something was like,
like 56 had, you had to get like the projection screen TVs.
And then you're like 60. Whoa.
And you couldn't even see it if you were like 15 degrees
those
to the right.
Were cool.
Yeah.
I saw The Fugitive on one of those one time.
Yeah, but you had to sit directly in front of the screen, but you would go over your uncle's house to go watch the Super Bowl. If you got room in your house for a 98-inch TV, go get one from Costco.
808-873-3435. I want to be your friend.
And then also for Follow-Up Junction, Joe Gao. You might remember us talking about Joe Gao from the episode entitled "Do Me, Chancellor."
Yes,
the Biscuits and Gravy episode. He was the guy who was a chancellor at Wisconsin University, University of Wisconsin.
Joe Gao, Michigan State under the bridge.
He got fired because it turned out that him and his wife were making porn videos. They actually had an OnlyFans channel where they made erotic cooking shows.
Good for them. That's what I imagine professors doing.
But then he got fired. But now he's suing to get his job back. They're saying that they fired him unjustifiably, and that him not being able to do porn infringes on his First Amendment rights. And I gotta say, I completely agree with him. Mm. We have talked about this many times on the show, where there's teachers. Almost every week, you read about a teacher who had an OnlyFans account, because teachers only make like $20,000 a year, right? And they have to buy all their own school supplies and whatever.
Like, you know how expensive bulletproof vests are?
And then they have to supplement their income. So a lot of sexy teachers are out there with OnlyFans.
Not
pages.
Everyone can be a swim coach.
Yeah, and so then they get fired because the school finds out that they're doing OnlyFans, and then they're like, you know what? Actually, I'm making like 10 times as much doing OnlyFans as I was getting paid. So they just kind of go away quietly,
and people pay attention more.
But I don't know. I don't understand why none of those teachers have ever tried to sue to get their jobs back. Because it's
so
like,
weird.
You can't fire somebody for what they're doing. And it's not like when you sign up to be a teacher, you have to sign some more sort of like morality clause. Like, there's certain TV studios and stuff and networks will make their actors sign something like that, where it's like, if you get caught doing something, we can fire you based on...
Yeah, like if you're doing Dell commercials and you buy an eighth of weed in Central Park.
Yeah.
Ruins your whole
if
career.
You're playing a stoner on TV and then people see you getting high.
So stupid. I think it was a quarter ounce of weed, but still. Yeah.
Well, that was also in like the early 2000s when weed was still super duper illegal.
Crazy.
Could you imagine back then... thinking about the fact that someday in some states weed would be illegal and
it like recreational for adults in Hawaii.
Oh, I mean, right now it's the people who are making all the laws in Hawaii are being paid by the people growing weed to keep it illegal so that they can continue making profit off of it illegally and not paying taxes. But once the people who are going to set up the dispensaries and stuff like that start bribing the right politicians, then everything will fall into place and we'll have legal marijuana in Hawaii. So
it just takes a little bit of bribery.
Looking forward to that day. But you know what? Honestly, could you imagine weed being any more legal than it is now?
Yeah.
Like we can just walk down the street smoking a joint.
It always smells like weed.
Nobody cares in Hawaii.
Yeah, you should care. It's illegal.
I was in line at the Costco gas station and it smelled like weed. I'm like, who's smoking weed at the gas station? That's a fire hazard. I wasn't offended because it's illegal. I was offended because it's very hazardous. Don't smoke weed at the gas station, guys. Just wait till you drive away from the gas station.
The line is so long.
So, Joe Gal, I hope you get your job back, and I hope you stick up for your First Amendment rights, and I hope teachers everywhere...
I want to see that movie, how Joe Gal got his job back.
I hope teachers everywhere follow suit and stick up for their rights, because just because you're doing OnlyFans doesn't mean that your Kansas teaching job should be evaporating.
Now, or, hear me out, maybe people that get master's degrees and doctorates and stuff should...
make more than $20,000 a year.
Money, yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
that's actually all going to go into the table because, as I've been saying for years, they're going to get rid of the Department of Education, and it's about to happen.
As a matter of fact, that just happened this week where the first thing that Trump did when he was in office the first time was he put Betsy DeVos in charge, and she, who had never been a teacher. I don't even think she went to school.
She didn't know the content of school.
He put her in charge of the Department of Education because she was... the sister of Eric Prince, the guy that owns Blackwater, is that his name?
Yeah.
It was the guy that owns Blackwater, which is like a super
mercenary
company that takes pride in killing Muslims because
He's on a Christian war.
Look up Eric Prince. That guy is
he's no prince.
He's super duper evil.
He's no prince, baby.
Well, anyway,
also Eric Prince like,
now
like from the Little Mermaid.
That's Prince Eric.
Ah!
Instead of just putting a dum-dum in charge of the Department of Education, Donald Trump's just going to get rid of the Department of Education?
Well, she was going to put on the head from WWE, right? McMahon?
Oh, yeah. Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just as good as getting rid of it. So let's just get rid of it.
Coming from the left corner, we got SATs versus this.
And I've got some sad news for you, Chuck.
Sad songs and waltzes aren't selling this year. Oh no. Is this Morningwood?
This is Morningwood. So
no!
Today is a true Morningwood because we are actually mourning the loss of a porn star.
That means our Trump barometer is going off the hook. Because every time Trump gets more popular or
every
like
time Trump gets power,
news,
more porn stars start to die. Yeah, the porn star deaths are the canary in the coal mine for Trump.
No!
We've always said this on the show.
Look
and
it up,
so,
people!
Unfortunately, this week, we have to talk about the death of a porn star. An OnlyFans porn star's hotel balcony threesome in Brazil took a tragic turn when she plunged to her death. So, Ana Beatriz Pereira Alves, a.k.a. Ana Polly, was found dead on the ground floor courtyard of the upscale Mont Blanc Apart Hotel. Just northwest of Rio de Janeiro last week, according to the Sun.
Didn't the guy from One Direction just fall off a...
Brazilian authorities are digging into details of her death as her two male scene partners are telling totally different stories about what went down during their wild film hookup. So she was filming a three-way scene on like the top floor of a hotel.
Well, then shouldn't that have caught...
And she plummeted to her death, unfortunately.
Imagine being in that... jury
the co-stars, trial. Who are also OnlyFans performers, were released after questioning, but the Baixada Fluminense homicide unit hasn't ruled out foul play just yet. So they're looking into her texts and the hotel CCTV footage. I found this interesting. Anna's boyfriend, Pedro Henrique, who wasn't part of the incident... took place on social media. He was heartbroken. He was... So this Brazilian cuck is heartbroken over the loss of his. He wasn't even there.
No.
He's heartbroken about her death, but he's not heartbroken about the fact that she was getting double teamed by some dudes in a hotel.
Yeah.
And he wasn't part of. No, it wasn't a third floor. It was a three way.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah, she was very high up in the hotel, and she was 27. So.
Wow.
Ana Polly.
Brazilian barbecue, aren't they notorious for spit roasting?
Rest in peace, Ana Polly. And I will ignore Chuck's tasteless joke.
All right. Brazilian steak tasteless.
Also for Morningwood, there's... Hold on, let me do some...
Ooh.
Apple is getting its first porn app. Yeah. In the EU. So I don't know if you heard about this. This is actually great news. The EU passed an antitrust law against Apple, and they're saying that Apple has like a monopoly and anopoly. Apple has a monopoly on their app store, and so the EU passed a law saying that Apple has to allow for other app stores to compete with the Apple app store, right?
Yeah.
Are you
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm just really into the sounds of Nelson Wrangle.
All right, no more Nelson Wrangle.
You're getting, ruining my day.
You're getting overstimulated.
But isn't it weird that the EU is doing like stuff? And like, we're going to have no antitrust laws.
So the EU passed this antitrust law. And so the alternate app store called Alt Store, they have an app on there called Hot Tub. And Hot Tub is like a porn app that allows you to browse porn right inside the app. Because right now, if you want to look at porn on your iPhone, you have to just do it online, which isn't like a big hassle. But apparently now you can download porn apps right for your phone. So could you imagine if like Pornhub had an app that you could open up and look at?
I'm always disappointed that they don't.
Yeah, I know. And it's all Apple's fault. But now if you live in the EU, you're going to be getting some porn apps coming your way, which is going to be pretty sweet. Also, Apple got really mad about this ruling because Apple claims it has a, quote, moral obligation to oversee the content of the apps on their website.
Sorry. When the Chinese slaves stop jumping out your factories, we'll talk about moral.
So Apple has their phones being made in China by a company where the people were working in such harsh conditions that they were killing themselves by jumping out of the factory. Instead of changing the conditions, they just put nets around the building so that the people couldn't jump to their deaths anymore.
That's not what they mean by safety net.
Apple didn't feel that they had some moral obligation to do anything about that, but this is what they have a moral obligation to protect people from looking at porn in their apps. They don't stop people from looking at porn on the internet.
No.
So why do they care? Oh, but then it turns out that Apple, anything that you buy through the App Store and every single microtransaction, Apple takes like 30% of that. So the company Epic Games, who makes Fortnite, they make billions and billions of dollars of microtransactions, and Apple is taking like 30% of all that money.
Sweet.
So Epic Games was the ones that pushed this lawsuit to make this possible. And so now there's going to be an alternate store where you could buy stuff, and they probably won't be taking as big of a cut of it. And so I think that that might have a little bit to do with why Apple is concerned about allowing other app stores, because it's probably going to be cutting into
the
billions of dollars that they're skimming off of other companies, and not really like the moral obligation of people being able to look at porn on their phone through an app.
Also, if you're against a porn, why are you all about Silicon Valley? That's where, you know, come
silicone.
On. Silicone.
That's
baby.
Silicone, Chuck, not silicon.
Whatever. Maybe they're conning us.
And for biscuits and gravy news, I got another follow up for you.
Biscuits and gravy news on gravy love and biscuit love.
Do you hear that sound, Chuck?
That sound can be one thing and one thing only. It
it's
is time
for biscuits
and or gravy news. Biscuits and or gravy news is proudly underwritten by Harvey Fierstein's Grill Lighters. When you think flaming, think Fierstein. Wow, that joke is ancient.
And also by Paul Rudd's Rudders. Don't be clueless about your rudders. This week for biscuits and or gravy news, good gravy.
Good gravy, baby.
Good gravy with an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of the gravy roller coaster that we talked about.
Yeah.
And the gravy roller coaster.
Holiday themed roller coaster park.
Good gravy at Holiday World in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the town it's in is actually Santa Claus, Indiana.
What?
Good Gravy Roller Coaster at Holiday World was named the number one new attraction of 2024.
That's because we gave it the
biscuit bump. It was the Reader's Choice number one new attraction of 2024 by USA Today's readers.
Who's reading?
Apparently the good folks in Indiana and fans of gravy roller coasters. What are you reading for? The late great Bill Hicks. Guys, if you are not a fan of Bill Hicks's comedy, go listen to Bill Hicks. He's a very formative comedian for me. He had a really big impact on me when I was younger.
Watch his comedy.
I just love Bill Hicks.
And then watch Dennis Leary. And then watch Dennis Leary right after Bill Hicks died.
But yeah, Bill Hicks, really great comedian. I used to love his stuff. We should do a little Gluttony Club also.
I would love to do
Gluttony Do you have anything Club. To talk about for Gluttony Club? I mean, I already talked about going to Jen this week. I think today I might go to Tajima and get more of that
I've been trying not that to ramen. Eat out as much.
Yeah, I haven't been eating out that much at all. Because during January, but now that I'm not doing keto anymore, I'm going.
Oh, I got a crazy 5-layer burrito from Taco Bell. I'm going gross
carb crazy today.
Dude, my light, like, you ever love something and you're like, all right, I'm gonna have a beefy 5-layer burrito. It's never been bad before. I got it. First of all, it's like 560 now, and it's not good.
That's disappointing.
Daisy didn't even want it on the first bite.
Wow.
That's bad.
Did you have to force to feed her the burrito?
I was like, you sure you don't want it?
Daisy
like,
is
I'm
Chuck's dog.
I'm not eating this crap.
And then for spoiler alert.
She eats cat poop.
And she won't eat the 5-layer burrito from. Well, that's very telling. For spoiler alert, have you started watching Severance yet?
No.
Come on, man. You love Severance.
I know. I'm trying to watch it all.
You watched the first season of Severance. Haven't you watched it like three times?
Four.
Four times?
So good.
Well, the second season is out. I think the first three episodes are out so far, so check that out. Season two of Silo is out. Squid Game season two, that is all available on Netflix.
You said they nailed it.
Not only did they nail it, it ends on a cliffhanger, and they're already working on season three, and they have announced that season three is going to be the final season of Squid Game. So if you enjoyed the first season of Squid Game, but you're apprehensive about getting into season two, go watch season two. You're going to love it. Season three is going to be awesome. Can't wait. Oh, and I got to tell you, Matt, I love this show called Invincible. It's an animated cartoon about a kid who his dad is a superhero, and then he gets superhero powers. It's got an all-star cast. It's available on Amazon. Season 3, highly anticipated. Season 3 is starting tomorrow, February 6th. So highly recommend. Go watch Invincible. It's so good, guys. If you haven't seen it, it's phenomenal. And now it's time for my favorite part of the show. Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo.
Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo.
Buffalo sound. Chuck Stuff Knowledge Buffalo is when Chuck tries to prove that he's the smartest buffalo in the room. Our first question comes from George.
Oh, the sound machine's broken.
In New York City. Oh, yeah, your $2 sound machine.
Yeah, it costs more to get more batteries than it does to just get
to,
more
to
of
just
these.
Replace the sound machine. George in New York City sent this one in. United Artists. You're familiar with United Artists. United Artists was founded by what famous silent film superstar?
Charlie Chaplin.
That's correct. Among others, but he was one of the founding members of United Artists. Good for him. Mm. Also, we need Charlie Chaplin.
He only talks in one movie and he impersonates Donald Trump.
No, that was Hitler.
Oh, sorry.
I know how you could get the two confused. Andrea in Huntington Beach, California. Andrea sent this one in. Where is Manila?
Manila is an envelope in the Philippines.
That is correct.
Yeah, dog.
Very good.
I just watched a TV show about eating food in Manila.
Yeah.
And it was not good food.
They
eat ice cream and hamburger buns.
Did they have Manila wafers?
No, they didn't.
Manila ice cream?
Yeah.
Manila extract?
Yeah. Anthony Zimmerman.
That's when you escape from the Philippines. That's a Manila extract.
Yeah.
The thrill in Manila. Also, Manila has the highest population density in the world.
Yep.
Not the highest population, but the highest population density. Yeah.
And then they make a lot of nurses. That's like their biggest export. Ooh, hey, be careful there.
Oh, yeah.
Export or nurses?
Export, yeah. A lot of Philippines expatriates living here in Hawaii. Mm. We love your culture. I love pancit noodles.
I like your palabok.
And we love palabok. All right.
Your pancit is so good.
Dude, the pancit at the Gather restaurant, so good.
So good.
All right. Our third question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. Chris with a K in Kihei sent this one in. What is the name of Toronto's hockey team?
You know, you could ask me this question every couple months, and I would never know.
I asked you one time what the name of their basketball team was.
Can't you ask me what their baseball team is? I know that.
Isn't Drake from Toronto?
Yeah, he's very Canadian.
What is the name of Toronto's hockey team?
The Lumineers.
No.
What is it?
What this is the Lumineers. Is that the band?
Yeah. Hey, ho.
Hey. That's our Lumineers. I'm sorry. It's not the Lumineers.
I don't know.
It's the Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs. But you got two out of three, Chuck. And you know what our deceased friend Meatloaf always says?
Listen to RFK.
And that also means that that's the end of our show.
But not the end of Biscuits and Gravy. You can catch us out next week, 11 a.m., same biscuit time, same gravy place. Vince, thank you so much for being a part of my day, a part of my life, and a part of my everything.
Thank you, Chuck.
Team out there, everybody, from me to you, aloha!